Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day, hopefully to inspire you in your faith walk, to deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So I've got a question. It's not rhetorical. I really want you to answer it. How would you describe your prayer life? Is it growing? Is it dying? Is it stagnant? Is it non-existent? How would you describe your prayer life? I just want to know. You can text me, 877-933-2484. Maybe some of you, when you pray, you wonder if God hears. Is He listening? Or if you go too long without answers, you wonder, is it even worth it to pray? Others, maybe you're like, you know, I've seen too much to turn back. Though I'm still waiting for many answers to prayer, I've seen God intervene in ways that have changed me, changed my circumstances. I know there's a God in heaven who hears me when I pray, but I'd sure love to grow in the knowledge of how to pray, biblical prayers, how to stand in faith, knowing that God is not a means to an end. He's the beginning and the end, but still He invites me to fellowship, to talk with Him. So how do I pray in effective ways? Are there answers to those questions? Well, we'll talk about all of that and more today. So grateful to welcome back to the show Dr. Derwin Gray. He's got a new book out, God, Do You Hear Me? Discover the Prayer That God Always Answers. We've got 5 copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, just the word book. It'll kick back a link. And I just want to explain to you why we do that. We are very committed to giving resources away every single day on Faith Radio. And we try to do that in all 3 shows. But the thing is, we don't have the manpower to manually enter every single person's address that texts in and wants in on the drawing, where we just tried to work smarter, not harder. So if you text the word book, it kicks back a link. It takes you a couple minutes to fill out your form, and then you get in the drawing that way. So that helps us a ton. I hope you don't mind. And if you got questions about prayer, text those in as well. Otherwise, my question for you is, how would you describe your prayer life right now in this season? No wrong answer, just honesty. 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Derwin Gray is a co-founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, mission-shaped community in South Carolina. It sounds like such an amazing church. I've got to visit next time I'm in South Carolina. Derwin met his wife, Vicky, in college. They've been married since 1992. They have 2 adult children. After college, he played in the NFL for 5 years. He still looks like a football player, by the way, before going to earn his Master of Divinity and Doctor of Ministry. He's a best-selling author of several books, including the book we're talking about today, God, Do You Hear Me? Discovering the Prayer That God Always Answers. Dr. Derwin Gray, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's always good to be with you and your audience. So I'm excited about our conversation.
Me too. Prayer is really one of my most favorite topics. One of my mentors says, she said, Susie, you have an upfront ministry with a behind-the-scenes heart. And it's true, because prayer to me is where I get the most done. Do you know what I mean? It's where I enjoy fellowship with God. It's where I just, I love the connection with God more than anything. So I can't wait to talk about this. So before we get into the content of this book, tell me, what is the Lord just impressing upon your heart these days?
Yeah, you know, every summer I get about 7 weeks of study break / sabbatical. Hmm. And I take those 7 weeks to really talk to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, Father, where am I needing to grow unto Christ-likeness? And so over these last 7 weeks, it was just like John 15:5, right? Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you will produce fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? So like basically being conformed to the image of Christ. And so our holiness is more important than our gifting. But holiness isn't something we do. Holiness is a gift we receive and a life we live from. Mm-hmm. And my prayer for me, and what I've really been wanting the Lord to do in me, is that I would be a holy man, meaning the aroma of Christ would seep from every single pore of my being, that I'm obedient to the leading of the Father through the Spirit, that what Jesus cares about, I care about. And my hope and prayer is that that's not only for me, but also for his church. When I say his church, I don't mean buildings or denominations or institutions. I mean people, because as Acts 20:28 says, you know, Jesus purchased a church with his own blood, that every single person that calls upon the name of Jesus was purchased, not with money, gold, or silver, or cryptocurrency, but were purchased with blood. So every person is of great worth, because the worth of a person is determined by the price paid for them, and the ultimate price was paid. But Jesus didn't simply pay the price for us to forgive our sins. He didn't forgive our sins, but he also has recreated us to be conformed to his image. So holiness, and holiness is a life of love.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that so much. I have 1,000 questions from your book. It's really wonderful, but I want to really give preference to this text from this dear listener. I asked friends, you know, tell me, how would you describe your prayer life? One person texted in and said distracted. I really appreciate that. May I have you speak to that in a minute, but this one says, prayer life is growing. Answers to prayer are not. I think I seldom see answers to prayers, and that's so very discouraging. What would you say to that dear listener?
Well, for the first person, I would say is, when you're distracted, don't beat yourself up. That's just another opportunity to get attracted back onto the one that you're praying to. That's one. Secondly, I would say to the person who is disappointed in not seeing prayers answered, number one, I do believe God answers prayers, but it often takes years for us to see how he answered them. But number two, I do think that God says no to prayers that will actually end up hurting us. And so oftentimes we can only look back and see what God was doing. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that look back and go, oh, okay, I see what he was doing. So sometimes what you view as rejection is actually protection. What we view as a no is actually God saying, go in a different direction. But then thirdly, prayer is not primarily about getting answers. Prayer is about being with a person, and his name is Jesus.
Somebody got to text me an amen on that one. Prayer isn't about getting answers. It's about a person, and his name is Jesus. And, you know, it is interesting, too, Dr. Gray, how as we walk with him, I often say this, and I don't know where I even heard it first, but any gift from his hand pales in comparison to the treasure of knowing his heart. And yet the more you know his heart and the more you love him, to me, it's like your heart starts to beat in rhythm with his, and his desires become your desires. And suddenly you're praying into his will. And then you start to see things happen. Again, he's not a means to an end, but something does change when our hearts align with his as far as how we pray. And Jesus invites us to pray. So talk about your prayer journey and how it's maybe evolved over the years and what you've come to understand about God and about his invitation for us to pray.
Yeah, you know, so I didn't grow up in the church, and I came to faith through a teammate when I played professional football. And so I was pretty much a clean slate, and people say, well, you should pray. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray. What does that mean? It means like talk to God. I'm like, okay. So as a football player, I knew my head coach would have a playbook. Now that I was on God's team, he had a playbook, and the playbook is obviously the Bible. And so I said, well, if I'm going to learn how to pray, I need to know what the Bible says about prayer. And lo and behold, Jesus' disciples had the same question that I had and billions of other people have had and people listening have right now. The disciples said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And by the way, God will always answer that prayer. And so it's interesting what Jesus does. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And it goes like this. He starts by saying, our Father who is in heaven, honor your name is holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, and we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what King Jesus does is he literally says, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And when you look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, here's a couple things that's so important that I labored deeply and I fought for the reader to understand. The Lord's Prayer, number one, is a microcosm of the life of Jesus himself. What do I mean by that? When it starts with our Father, who had a greater relationship with the Father other than Jesus? Who honored the Father's name greater than Jesus? Who embodied God's kingdom on earth greater than Jesus? Who forgives sins but Jesus? Who gives us the power to forgive others? Jesus. And who is it that defeated sin, death, and evil and temptations? Jesus. So number one, prayer is about getting to know Jesus. Number two, prayer is also a mini catechism of the life and story of Jesus. And so you could actually teach a new believer who Jesus is by reading the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the living story of Jesus's life. And then number three, when we pray, and what I've learned about prayer, it starts out with our Father. So it's not just about asking, it's about engaging a person. And what does it mean to honor your name as holy? In other words, my allegiance is to you. I'm not going to pray for what's best for me. Father, I want you to tell me what's best for me because you love me the most. And then thirdly, notice what the prayer says, your kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. That is such a beautifully dangerous prayer that we get to the point of saying, okay, it's not but what I want, it's what you want, and you want your kingdom. And then it moves into this beautiful aspect of forgiveness and receiving forgiveness and giving away forgiveness and being able to overcome temptation. And so what we do, and I say this lovingly and I say this respectfully, and I want to honor Jesus so much, Susie, so I have to say it firmly, we've actually turned prayer into a spiritual ATM machine instead of a sacred privilege of sitting on our Father's lap and hearing his whispers of love and his divine instruction.
Wow, Derwin, we got to pause here, but I want you to unpack that even a bit more on the other side. And I will tell you just a common denominator in our listeners, whether they're new in the faith, maybe seasoned in the faith, what I find in so many is they're serious about their faith. So we want to lean in and we want to hear from the Lord and we want to pursue God on his terms, especially in a day where holiness and reverence and those things have been trampled by the wayside. Not here. Not with us. We are going to walk with God in on his terms, in his way, his will, for his glory. Amen, amen. We're going to talk more with Dr. Derwin Gray about praying and walking with God, enjoying fellowship with him. We've got five copies of his book, and he writes like he speaks. This book is God, Do You Hear Me? Discover the Prayer God Always Answers. He's really unpacking the Lord's Prayer. So powerful. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Hope you're having a really great day. So glad you tuned in to Susie Larson Live. I'm having a fantastic conversation with Dr. Derwin Gray. He's a former NFL player, now a pastor, leads a really wonderful multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in South Carolina. So if you're ever visiting South Carolina, look up Transformation Church. His new book is titled God, Do You Hear Me? Discover the Prayer God Always Answers. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. So glad about that. Who doesn't need either a jump start in your prayer life or just you know, being ignited to take it to the next level. This dear listener says, my prayer life is the strongest it's ever been. I'm learning to pray the scripture. Love that. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So before the break, Dr. Gray, you said that you need to say this because you fear God. You want to say it gently and lovingly, but firmly, because you love and fear God. But that some have made prayer into treating God like an ATM machine. In fact, you have a quote in your book that Jesus is not our divine butler. And so make that distinction for us as far as what prayer from a biblical standpoint is supposed to look like.
Yeah. So just in a pastoral moment, I know a lot of us tuning in right now hurting. I've got things in my family. You guys have got things in your family. There's some difficult circumstances, and we just want God to alleviate the problem, alleviate the pain, just get rid of it, right? That's what we want. And if we're being true to the scriptures, when Jesus was betrayed and he was getting ready to go to the cross, he even said, Father, remove this cup from me, meaning he was going to experience separation from God on the cross. Like he was going to die for the sins of the world. He wanted that removed from him. Like, we want pain removed. The thing about prayer is that the primary purpose of prayer is not simply for God to remove difficulties out of our lives. So pastorally, I feel your pain. I experience your pain. Theologically, it's important for us to understand that we live in a fallen and broken world. That's why at the resurrection, Jesus is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, no more tears, no more pain. But in between that time, John 16:33 says this, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. And there have been times where God has dramatically intervened, supernatural healings. But then there's times where I've prayed for people and they've died. There have been times where I've prayed for God to alleviate the pain and he hasn't. But in the midst of all of it, what I have come to see is this. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so when we are praying, we're not praying to get something. We are praying to become someone. And because God is sovereign, because God is loving, because God is good, we know that regardless of what we go through, he's going to use it to conform us to the image of his Son. Now, personally, there are some things I want God to go, okay, Lord, I don't feel like being conformed to the image of the Son. I want you to remove this problem. I want you to do this for this person. I want you to do this for that person. But the reality is, in the resurrection, no more pain, no more hurt, no more confusion, no more chaos. But until that time, his grace is enough, and prayer is not about him always delivering us out of something. It's about God getting Christ out of us and making us more like Jesus.
Wow. This listener said, a sign in my house reads this way, prayer may not change things for me, but it changes me for things. I love that because, you know, anyone you, what's so painful is someone who's come through 30 years of a chronic illness that God has been so faithful, and he's bringing me from strength to strength with Lyme disease stuff. But, you know, you can imagine I've run into every person who's got a formula, especially a prayer formula, to get God to do what I want him to do. And my own son was miraculously medically healed from a football injury of his back. It was a miracle. My journey's been different, but it's not less of a miracle because I'm still standing and I'm able to serve God and love him. And after, you know what I'm saying? But what my faith and my prayer have changed me. And what it grieves me, though, in times, in some of my low times, are when people have kind of put on you, you know, what are you missing? You're missing a step because, like, you can always get God to do what you want, but you can't. And that we have to, I think if we're going to really enjoy fellowship with God, we also have to embrace the mystery of God, don't we?
Amen. And I just applaud you for your testimony. You are an incredibly powerful woman of God, and I appreciate you. And oftentimes where there is deep pain, God brings about deep power.
Wow.
Because people that walk with a limp are humble enough to depend upon him. And, you know, as a father, like, you don't want your kids to hurt. You want God to do like a Red Sea kind of thing and part the sea. It's not that he's not capable, but he has a greater goal than simply removing a problem from our lives. He often will use problems to conform us to the image of Christ. But I think it's once again important when you look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus doesn't start with ask for something. He starts with our Father, that we enter the Father's gates with praise and thanksgiving. We think about his holiness, his greatness, and I am so passionate about God's people revering the greatness of God.
Amen.
And that's the way the Lord's Prayer starts. And so I think a lot of times we're not really praying. We're doing superstition. We're trying to manipulate God to do exactly what we want, versus the Lord's Prayer guides us into who God is. And one of the things that I do in the book, Susie, is I painstakingly walk through with biblical stories, my own personal stories and illustrations of what each line of the Lord's Prayer means. So when I pray our Father, for me at this point, that automatically goes to, I'm praying to Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I'm praying to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I'm praying for Jehovah Sicknu, the God who is righteous. When I pray our Father, I'm praying to the one who ran and pursued his younger son who was in rebellion and covered him and kissed him. So when I write the book, what I'm trying to introduce people to is, who is our Father? And what does it mean that he is holy? You know, think about this for a moment. It's easy for us to go, man, God hasn't answered my prayers, I'm mad. When in reality, it should be, oh my goodness, I get to pray to the living God of the universe, and being in his presence is enough.
Well, let that in for just a moment. You know, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to visit that. I love that you wrote about the redemptive names of God, Jehovah, Jireh, Nisi. He's my banner. He's my peace. I want to unpack those. But before we even do that, if you just be thinking about this, you've got a good whole 2 minutes to think about it, Dr. Gray. But the difference between a fear of the Lord and being afraid of God, sometimes people project their father wounds onto the father, so they keep their distance. But the fear of the Lord just changes how we approach him, but it invites us near. So I'd love for you to make a distinction there, because I think that's often a hindrance to our prayers. We're either keeping him at a distance because of father wounds, or we're coming so casually that we are not approaching him the way he ought to be approached. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Talking to Dr. Derwin Gray about powerful prayer. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a really powerful, precious conversation with Dr. Derwin Gray, best-selling author, former NFL. I love football, so I got to throw that in there. Pastor of an amazing flock, and his new book, God, Do You Hear Me? Discover the Prayer God Always Answers. So powerful. And if you could, I would love, before we get into the redemptive names of God, like Jehovah Shalom and Rapha and Jireh, talk about, make the distinction for the person listening today between being afraid of God and having a right fear of God.
Yeah, Susie, that is so, so important. And if you're listening and you're saying, yeah, what is this being afraid of God? Like, what does that mean? And that is a perfectly sane question. But I want to change the phraseology just a little bit. in the Old Testament, when you read the word fear, it's actually the word awe, to be in awe of God. And so if I could give you an example, when I was a little boy, I was in eighth grade, and the Los Angeles Lakers came to town. And I shook Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's hand. It was amazing. I didn't wash it for a week. And then Magic Johnson walked by. And there were a ton of kids around him getting his autograph, and he flashed that million-dollar smile. And I was in awe. I didn't even ask him for an autograph. I was just in awe of the magnitude of this person because of his reputation. Well, the more that we get to know the Father through Jesus, if you ever want to know what God the Father looks like, you look at Jesus, not because of the physicality. God is a spirit, but the character. The greater you are in awe of his love and his mercy and his kindness and his strength and his power and his beauty, it transforms how we relate to him. It's like walking into the royal courts of a king. And so when we say that to fear God, it's to be in awe of God. He's holy. He's set apart. There's none like him. And if we're honest, there are certain human beings that we're more in awe of than a living God of the universe. And the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to be mesmerized and astonished by him. And primarily, it's the cross and the empty tomb that, as the Holy Spirit tenderizes our heart with what God has done, we're just in awe and appreciative of his grace.
Amen. I was sitting with Psalm 33 today, and just, you know, the line, he merely spoke and the heavens came to be. I mean, the things that he does without effort. And I think so we rush right by so much of his beauty in nature. Do you know what I mean? His incredible attention to detail with a butterfly, or the idea of a caterpillar and a chrysalis. And I mean, it's just amazing. The underwater world that many never see, but how he lavishes creativity. That's just a tiny evidence. You're right. It's far more evidence than the cross and resurrection. But it's just everywhere you look, you see the lavish involvement of God in our midst,
yeah.
You know?
The heavens declare the glory of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that you said is so true. But in this season of my life, what gives me the most awe about God is how patient he is with us.
Yeah.
I mean, we misuse his we abuse his creation. We abuse each other as the crown jewel of his creation, yet he is so patient, wanting none to perish.
I've been thinking a lot about that too, Derwin, a lot about that too. It's amazing how long-suffering and patient he is. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, you think God could be any way he wants. I say that all the time. He has no rival. He's the only uncreated one. He has all power. He could be any way he wants, and he's patient and kind and true. It's amazing. All right, let's go through these redemptive names if we can. Just whatever you want to say about them. But Jehovah Shalom, what about that one?
Yeah, so the words Jehovah actually come from a German root that was originated from the Hebrew of what's called the tetragrammaton, which is the four vowels. It's really not pronounceable, but in Exodus 3:15, God tells Moses his personal name, which is Yahweh, the great I am. And it conveys covenantal relationship. It conveys eternalness. It conveys all-powerful, right? And so Yahweh Shalom is the eternal one, is our peace. And it's really important to understand that peace doesn't mean peaceful circumstances, because the world's broken. Peace means I have peace with God through Christ by his redemptive work on the cross, and I can have peace on the inside of me regardless of the peace that's happening outside of me. And peace inside of me doesn't mean a lack of anxiety. It actually means, Lord, I know that I know that I know that I am yours, that this too shall pass, that you are king and that you are good. You are my peace.
So good. Okay, Yahweh Rapha.
Yeah, he's a healer. Mm-hmm. This is one of these difficult ones, right? Because when we look at the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus came as the world's Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, he healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind. He did many, many miraculous things to display that he was the Messiah. And the vindication that he was God's Messiah is that he rose from the dead after defeating sin on the cross. And so, you know, gosh, I wish I could go to every hospital all over the world and just heal people the way Jesus did. But let's pause here, and this is so important. Every person that Jesus healed in the New Testament still died. So every healing on this side of eternity is only partial. That the ultimate healing, Isaiah 53, we are healed by his stripes. By his stripes we're healed, is the resurrection. And so I pray for healing all the time for people that are sick. And I even tell them, healing in Christ is guaranteed. You know how I know? Because he rose from the dead, and one day you'll rise from the dead, and there will be no more sickness, no more death. But until that time, we may get a glimpse of that from time to time, but ultimate healing is in the resurrection. And so on this side of eternity, we pray for healing, we trust him for healing, but knowing that ultimate healing will come when he returns.
All right. Yahweh, this one looks like it's got the word Sabbath in it, but I'm not sure how to say it. How do you pronounce that one? Lord of hosts.
Lord of hosts, yeah, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh. So God fights our battles. Like he literally fights our battles. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we sit on, you know, on our couch and we don't do anything? It's more of a posture. It's a heart posture to say, you know what, Lord, I don't have to strive. I don't have to push. I don't have to pull, because I know that you fight my battles. I can walk in humility. I can walk in love. And supernaturally, what he did on the cross, what he accomplished in the resurrection goes before me. And that's why Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. And so we don't have to conquer anything, because Christ already conquered the great enemy of death and sin.
Beautiful. All right. Yahweh Jireh, our provider.
Yeah, he is our provider. And let me pause here. And I know I'm primarily speaking to probably an American audience. For us, when we pray like, Lord, give us today our daily bread, very few of us actually mean that literally, because we have so much abundance. Even the poor in America are wealthy by lots of standards throughout the world. I've been to Calcutta, India, and I've seen poverty. Like, I've really seen poverty. I've seen things that blew my mind. And so when the believers in Calcutta pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that is a literal heart cry. And so God does provide. And one of the ways that he provides is he uses Christians who have overabundance to meet the lack of abundance for brothers and sisters in our community and around the world. So here at Transformation Church, we have a free grocery store. We feed over 400 families per month. And so God meets other people's needs, Jehovah Jireh, through his people that he's blessed. He also meets our needs spiritually. He meets our needs emotionally. He meets our needs of companionship and friendship. But ultimately, he meets every need with himself.
Yeah. He works through his people. He works in circumstances. And I think one of the reasons it's so important, somebody's listening, maybe going, well, what do these redemptive names of God have to do with my prayer life? Well, for me, when I understand that God is good, you know, sometimes when we pray, we think we're convincing God to be kind, or we're trying to talk him into being good. But when you know these things are part of his character, that he's provider, he's healer, he's peace, he's our banner, he's our victory, you don't pray from under your circumstances, you pray from above. You thank God, you're a provider, God. You already know what I need. I mean, well, I'd love for you just to say a word about that. I mean, there's others, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Ra. You can even speak to some of those if you want. But I think the purpose of walking through these are really going, the more I get to know God's character, I think the more assured I'll be when I pray.
Yes, and that's why with Our Father, I take several chapters to really come out and say, this is who our Father is. Susie, I don't know if you did this when you were a kid, but an elementary kid, I did. I would say something like, well, my dad can beat up your dad, right? Well, when we pray Our Father, literally our dad beat up sin, death, and evil, right? So we need to know who he is. And so every night I pray the Lord's Prayer before I go to bed. And it talks about who our Father is. He's a shepherd, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. He renews my soul. You know, he guides me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and staff protect me. He makes me a table in the midst of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Within Psalm 23 are the names of God.
Wow.
He is a good, good shepherd. So what I'm trying to drive people to do, Susie, is not turn God into a quick fix, an ATM, but through the Lord's Prayer to really be discipled. The early church used the Lord's Prayer as not only a means to teach people to pray, but as a catechism for discipleship, because you're learning God's character, you're learning God's kingdom, you're learning forgiveness, you're learning the gospel, you're learning spiritual warfare, you're learning to become like Jesus.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk more about how you said when we, you know, are building our lives on sand, you know, we don't have perspective on what God is doing. But as we pray and we get to know God, there's actually like a structure in our life. We were building our foundation on the Lord himself. It's so powerful. You said when we build our lives on sand, we'll not have the ability to overcome the rising tides and the crashing waves. Jesus wants to give us a collapse-proof life. Who doesn't want a collapse-proof life? As you walk with God, you hear his voice, you know him in the word. I mean, you start to build your life, your priorities, your passions on the rock, which is Jesus himself. More with Dr. Derwin Gray when we return. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you. That's Cece Winans. We've got her coming up, I don't know, I think in a few weeks, but you're going to hear from her. Amazing. Talking to Dr. Derwin Gray today. He's got a new book out titled, God, Do You Hear Me? Discover the Prayer God Always Answers. And he says, I read this a little bit before the break, when we build our lives on sand, we'll not have the ability to overcome the rising tides and crashing waves. Jesus wants to give us a collapse-proof life. Prayer is a holy longing to be with God, to experience his love that surpasses understanding, to be embraced by his merciful presence, to lose ourselves in his redeeming purposes so we can find ourselves. I love that so much. Derwin, I was just thinking about, you know, Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy. That context is usually given to, you know, sowing seeds, storing up your, you know, your financial treasures, sow into the kingdom, sow your life into the kingdom. I feel like prayer is that way too, where the more that you walk intimately with God, the more you do participate in the divine nature, where scripture talks about he's given us the promises so we can participate in the divine nature. I mean, all that to say, I feel like God not only changes us from the inside out, but he upgrades our priorities, our perspective, and everything when prayer becomes a really high priority in our life. I'd love for you to unpack that a bit more. Did we lose him? Or maybe his bike is down. And you got him? Okay. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Well, I would just say amen to what I just said. I'm just kidding. But truly, I really find that to be so true, that the more I walk with God, and I feel like his, for me, his delays and his no's and his not yet's have been as sacred as his immediate yes's. Now, I will admit, you've been hearing me talk about these prayer women that I Zoom with every Wednesday morning, and I also have a prayer group I pray with on Monday mornings now. We are seeing very specific answers to prayer. We're coming together, praying God's word together. And I really believe this is the time that we are to come together and pray God's word, his will, for his glory. And we are seeing God move mountains. I think it is a time to be praying. But what Derwin's saying, and I think is so important, is that we don't see God as a means to an end. And it isn't just about getting our way. It's him having his way and us. And what's amazing is that we really start to surrender our will to say, you know, you see things I don't see. Your ways are higher than my ways. Here are my requests, because Jesus invites that us to do that, right? To lay our requests before him, not worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and don't forget to thank him for what he's done. If you do this, then you'll experience God's peace. I think that whole passage is an invitation to be much with God, to be all in with God, to give him everything that you are, and to trust him for all that he is. That's what's changed me. And I would love to know from you, what has changed you in that? I mean, as you've prayed, what's changed about your walk with God, your perspective of God, and even your perspective of the world? I'd love for you to text me 877-933-2484. Angie's working feverishly to get Derwin Gray back on the line, and I hope we can do that. I'm going to read you another one of his excerpts here. He says, God answers the Lord's Prayer in unexpected ways at unexpected times. Sometimes the prayers we have prayed in silence with tears streaming down our face take years to be fulfilled. When a farmer plants seeds, he does not expect them to grow overnight. He knows that harvest time is coming. I want that to be an encouragement to you. If we could think like a farmer, that the seed really bears a harvest, the seed of God's word goes in the ground, breaks through, and eventually in due time punches or pokes through the ground and produces a harvest. If we don't keep digging it up or keep double minding it, if you know what I mean, when we start to sow seed and we pull the weeds and we deal with our hearts, in due time, that seed bears fruit in our life. And I think sometimes we're so focused on movement and we're so focused on our answers to prayer that we're not paying attention to the weeds and the boulders and the condition of our heart. But I think it's so important to create an atmosphere for growth in our lives. You know, remember Jesus talked about the parable of the seeds. You know, the good soil produces 30, 60, 80 to 100 times what's planted. And that's such a picture of a cultivated life, a life giving room so that God can move. And it looks like we've got Derwin back again. Let's get him back on. Hey, Derwin.
I'm back, Susie. Yay. Something happened.
Well, you
know
what?
I don't know what it was.
Never a dull moment with live radio. Let me just tell you that.
That's right. Hey, you know, I have a question for us. And here's the question. If God answered all of our prayers, how many people would come to Jesus and be saved?
Hmm.
How different would the world be better? And then lastly, how humble and self-sacrificing would I be?
Wow, if you could remember those questions, would you repeat those again? Because that makes us take inventory of what we've been praying about. Go ahead and say that again if you don't mind.
Yeah, you know, is how many people, if God answered all my prayers, how many people would come to know Jesus and be saved, would be redeemed by his blood? How different would the world be? Would the world be better and more kingdom of God-like? And then if God answered all my prayers, how much more humble would I be? How much more sacrificing would I be? Or are my prayers primarily about getting my needs met? Because Matthew 6:32 says this, do not be like the Gentiles who just pray, in essence, asking for things, because your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So this begs the question, if someone says, well, why should I pray? You have a bigger problem than a prayer problem. You have an intimacy problem. Into me you see. If you think you go to God primarily to get answers for prayers, you're more in a user relationship than in a covenantal relationship of intimacy. A relationship of intimacy, and to me, you see the Lord's Prayer and what it means and the scripture it contains, the story of God, is inviting us to live and to participate in it. But when it's primarily about using God, it's, well, why should I pray if he's not going to answer my prayers? I mean, my wife and I have been married for 30 years. Could you imagine me saying, hey, I'm not going to talk to you unless I need something from you?
Hmm.
No, marriage is about being with the other person because you love them. And prayer is about being with God because you love him in response to him first loving you.
Amen. Amen. I would love to know from your own life, Derwin, times when you longed for an answer, you longed for a yes or some kind of breakthrough, and you didn't get it, but you got something better, something more. You got something of God's presence, his character, some revelation of who he is, or even your own journey. Can you think of any time from your story?
Absolutely. I'm thinking of it right now. There's an extended family member who's just been going through some incredibly difficult things. And I've been praying multiple times a day, every single day, for the Lord to deliver that person, to heal that person. And it hasn't happened. But what has happened is in the ups and downs, I know that God is good, that he is kind. He hurts when I hurt. He's reaching out to that person. And I myself am growing in patience and long suffering and endurance. And that person has to respond to God. And when that person does, that doesn't mean all of our problems and pain goes away. But it does mean this. In this world, you will have trouble, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. And the king is returning, but until he does, as the Apostle Paul says, his grace is sufficient.
Wow. One of the things you say in the book is this: prayer is the secret place where we find God waiting for us. Again, I don't think that folks always look at it that way. I think some get into his presence and hopes to get his attention, to get him to look our way. But to imagine Abba Father, the one who merely spoke and the heavens came to be, the one who knows about every hair on your head, is waiting for you. I mean, just unpack that a bit more.
Yeah. Throughout Scripture, what we see is in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the night. We see that after the fall, God eventually says, I want you to make me a tabernacle. I want to be with you. Then he says, I want you to make me a temple. And then ultimately Jesus comes and he says, I am the temple. Tear this one down. It raises in 3 days. And then he tells his believers that you are the temple, the presence of God. And then at Jesus's return, we see a new heaven and a new earth. And it says, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will be with you. We have a I want to be with you kind of God, and prayer is God saying, come and be with me.
Amen. Well, I know you talked about the patience of God, but what would you say, Derwin, that you know about God now that you didn't even maybe know or understand, or maybe you just know it on a deeper level, maybe 5 years ago? What's different now about your walk with God?
I would say what's different now about my walk with God is the older you get. I'm 51 now, so my wife and I are still taking care of children who are young adults, but then you begin to take care of your parents that are in their 70s or older, and you're like, well, who's here to take care of me? And so the Lord takes care of us in a different way. It makes us begin to long for him returning more. It gives us more empathy and more compassion. And so what I'm learning is that the more and more I pray, the more and more God's heart of compassion is formed in me.
Beautiful. beautiful. I'm going to close with this quote from your book. We've been transferred into Jesus' kingdom. We have a new zip code. We are relocated in Messiah Jesus. This is our new story. As we learn the Lord's Prayer, we're learning Jesus' story and how we fit in it. As we learn the Lord's Prayer, we're discovering our own destiny. That was Dr. Derwin Gray. I pray you found some encouragement here. Love and appreciate you so much. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thank you so much, Dr. Gray. I can't wait to get you back on the show again. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.